For the IDEA Data Center, I'm Amy Bitterman, and this is A Date with Data. Every month, I sit down with data quality influencers from around the country to share their stories about special education data and the work they do to improve outcomes for children with disabilities. Hello, and welcome to A Date with Data. On this episode, we're joined by Dale Matasovich, Robert Sabalchik, and Barbara Mazza from the Delaware Department of Education. We are so excited to talk to them about how Delaware is working to strengthen the capacity of local education agencies to collect, analyze, report, and use high-quality IDEA data. Thank you all so much for being on. And to kick things off, could each of you just share a little bit about your role at the department? Dale, do you want to go first?
Yes, thanks, Amy. Dale Matusevich, I am currently the Director for Exceptional Children Resources at the Delaware Department of Education. I am into my fourth year as director. Previously, I spent 15 years as the Education Associate for Secondary and Transition Services for the department. So I'm going on my 19th year of being with the Delaware Department of Education. And before that, I was at in Virginia leading their transition services initiatives across the state.
Great. Thank you. Bob?
Hello, this is Bob Sabalsik. I am officially the Part B data manager for the Exceptional Children's Work Group, but I also sit in a technology data office. And I have a kind of my background is as a special education case manager for 23 years in a variety of settings from both private, public, and correctional settings. So, you know, I kind of can lean on that background and my inner data nerd to help any kind of data questions that are out there.
That's a great combination. And Barbara.
Hello, my name is Barbara Mazza, and I've been at the department about 10 years now. And my main role is to coordinate our monitoring activities, which include the SPP APR, compliance monitoring, and fiscal monitoring. Previously, I spent 14 years in Maryland as a special education teacher and a special education specialist, and then migrated to Delaware and spent time in districts as a special ed specialist and also as a special ed director.
Great. So a lot of experience and history between all of you. So thank you. So to start us off, can you just talk about what was the impetus for this work that you've been doing to build your district's capacity to improve their IDEA data?
So, yes, Amy, I'll take that first question. So we have, as I moved into the director's position, we had kind of had discussions with our LEAs. We began to dig into our data a little deeper than we had been before, and really assessing kind of what we had been doing over the years. Mm-hmm. And one of the conclusions that we came to was we hadn't seen a lot of movement in our data, especially around student proficiency, around our state assessments, and around indicator three, particularly. So one of the things that we wanted to do was really figure out how we could work with our LEAs, engage in conversations with them to figure out how we as the Department of Education could provide improved or better support, technical assistance, resources to them with all of the challenges we know that they're facing. So one of the things that we wanted to do was bring LEAs together to really talk about what challenges that they were facing. We know that they're all, you know, working hard. There's all, you know, everyone's doing, you know, good things within their districts and within their charters, but it's how do we capitalize on the good things that folks are doing and how do we kind of have conversations across district or charter lines to really look at and lean on each other in support of our students across the state. So one of the things that we came up with was really looking at, and this was about a year and a half or almost a 2 year conversation working with the IDEA Data Center, leaning on them for their expertise, And just brainstorming different things back and forth and different ideas. So one of the things that we discussed was really looking at building a multi-tier system of accountability around LEA determinations. And really looking at the continuous improvement plans that we were asking our LEAs to do and then provide back to us and kind of report back benchmarking and things of that nature. Historically, our LEAs, some took it more serious than others, to be quite honest. We wanted to kind of raise that level of the urgency that we're seeing not only across the state or across the nation, but across our state as well, leaning on what our governor and our Secretary of Education's priorities are, and really looking at raising that academic expectations for all of our students across the state. And when we do say all, we mean all, regardless of race, ethnicity, disability, socioeconomic status, and those other demographics that we often see. And we have really begun to move into a coherent level across the department and working with other work groups more so. I know we all talk about breaking down silos, and a lot of times we give that lip service and we don't see any action around it. But we're really ramping that up and our action around breaking down those silos to where we are having more in-depth conversations across work groups than we've ever had before. So one of the things that we did is in working with the data center is we developed these data retreats that we can get into a little more later. But really bringing that data to the district level, having those conversations and embedding those conversations around that, and really holding our LEAs accountable. So we've built in certain levels of accountability and requirements for them based off of where their determination designation is. And we engaged our LEAs in conversations around that whole process, around what requirements would be, things that we were thinking of, getting their input across this. And our LEAs have really responded so far.
That's great. And having that approach of hearing from them, getting their feedback, involving them in the process as you're developing this approach really, I'm sure, helps with the buy-in from the LEAs as well. So that makes a lot of sense. So now, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the ways that you've been supporting your districts to build their capacity? What are some of those approaches or strategies that you've implemented, and how have they gone?
So one of them, our goals, and because Dell really wants the LEAs to look at their data, and because as a Part B data manager, I see all the raw data all the time. In Delaware, as a locally controlled state, every LEA uses the same student information system, but they have control as to how that kind of works, and then our required federal reporting data flows to the central warehouse, and that's where I do my federal reporting from. And what I can do is take that raw data and put it in either Excel pivot tables or Power BI tables to really give it some life and allow the special ed directors and either from smaller LEAs to charters to big LEAs, they may or may not have staff that can actually do some of the number crunching for the special ed directors to actually then go and look at and make some plans as to, well, what's going on with this data. And because really it's about giving them tools to dig in and filter down and answer some questions and really show what's going on in their individual LEAs.
When we started having our monthly meetings with our LEAs, we meet with them monthly to check in. In the very beginning, I was concerned about the time that would be involved, but they have proven to be so valuable in strengthening our relationships with them, both professionally and getting to know them on a personal level. During these meetings, we've seen an increase in discussion around data, and it's really provided a safe place where we can talk with the LEA leadership about what is your data showing you? Are you seeing a positive impact from implementing the improvement strategies that you identified? And if you're not seeing progress expected, are the strategies being implemented with fidelity? And if they are, would this be an opportunity to go back and look to see if we identified the right root cause? Did we go deep enough? So we're able to have those conversations with them. For one of my LEAs, the focus on data and the belief that special education students are general education students first has really supported them in increasing their collaboration at the LEA level across content areas, school culture, discipline, and other areas that they see a need. Our monthly meetings give me an opportunity also to recognize all of their hard work and celebrate successes as they work toward meeting their targets. So this has really helped the LEAs have a time when they can just take a breath and they can just really have these conversations and we can help them problem solve and help them work on the things that they have going on. An example of this is when I reviewed an annual determination with one of my LEAs from the spring. We saw that they improved in 50% of their indicators from the previous year. So that was exciting for all of us, and it can kind of energize them to keep going and to keep working toward the targets and the activities that they're doing. So I think the data retreat really was a foundation to build a lot of those aha moments and then to take it from there. So it's been an exciting process.
So Bob, it sounds like gets that data ready and gets it into the hands and digestible formats so that it's easy to understand by the districts, and then you kind of take it from there, having those conversations with the districts using that data to kind of dig in deeper, see what maybe those root causes might be, and thinking about ways to improve.
Yeah, Amy, I think one of the bigger things, or one of the biggest positives that I think we got out of, especially out of the data retreats and this process has been, is again, Bob is with us as our data person at the data retreats. He's at all of our work group meetings that we have, so we're able to continue these conversations. When we meet with LEAs, he's a part of our team that meets with LEAs, across the year. But one of the things that we saw at the data retreat when we began those last year was LEAs having questions about their data. And I know other states and territories can attest that a lot of times when we publicize our state data or we give the data back to the LEAs around particular areas, it's, well, this where'd this data come from? This isn't our data. Well, having Bob there, we're able to right away address those any concerns or issues that they feel that they have. And that did happen with a couple of the LEAs last year during these data retreats, and we were able to go in and have those conversations right away, right there. We didn't have to push them to the back burner or say, hey, we'll address those later. That's not the time for this. That was the time for having those discussions. And we were able to go in and have direct discussions with those LEAs and figured out a lot of times, as we know, it's data input is the issue. It's not the running of the report. And that's what we found with those LEAs when we were having those discussions. It was how they were entering the data rather than us and the reports that we were running and how our queries were running the data. Or spitting out the data. So I think that was one of the really big things that helped us. One of the other things that, again, is as I mentioned in breaking down those silos, as my team is meeting with LEAs, once a month, then we're also bringing in our school improvement folks into those conversations and really seeing the conversations go deeper across the board. And one of those things that we have done is worked with school improvement, especially around the CSI and TSI identified schools, because the majority of our TSI identified schools are around the special education population in those sub demographics. And that is allowing us to have those conversations not only at building levels, but also district levels and across the charters and looking at the plans, the continuous improvement plans they're building for us within ECR. They're also allowing that to serve as their plan for CSI and TSI if the one of the issues is around special education in their individual buildings. So that's been helping us coming at this not just as a special education issue, but bringing it around an all student issue and how do we improve outcomes for all students? Because again, the majority, over 80% of our special ed population is receiving instruction in the general education classrooms. So it's how do we bring all of these different perspectives or cross disciplines together to have those conversations so we're helping each other and we're not continually just battling this from a special education perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that is something that a lot of states and districts too struggle with. Have you found any strategies in particular that have seemed to really help to kind of break down some of those silos and to strengthen those collaborations across the agency?
Yeah, I think it's for me, I think it's we have to learn each other's work to a certain degree. And I kind of always joked about this when I was in the transition world, mainly working with adult agencies, to where I knew enough about adult agency work to where I was dangerous with my knowledge. So it's having it's knowing enough to be able to speak the language and ensuring that our messaging is a coherent message and a consistent message across the board. Because one of the things we were seeing prior to us trying to implement this process is we would be go out and our different work groups would talk about multi-tier systems of support, our MTSS framework. And we were all attempting to relay the same message, but we were saying it all, we were
Different.
all saying it differently. So now being able to come together at the state level and give a lot of kudos and credit to our associate secretary around our teaching and learning support team, Dr. Monica Gant, around bringing directors from these our cross-discipline teams throughout the department together. And we meet once a month. So we're having these conversations and then we're taking this those conversations back to our teams and expressing that work that way. So it's helped us move forward. And I think some of the word that we're getting from our LEAs in this approach is for many of them that have been in the districts and been in our state for even longer than I have. And I've only been here, this is working on my 18th, 19th year, is this is the first time they've ever seen the department come together across disciplines to present information together. It's always been separate. So we're presenting that united front, if you will. So I'm standing, and our team is standing side by side with our curriculum and instruction and professional learning group, our academic excellence group, which houses our ELA and math folks, our school improvement folks that's under school supports, as well with our school climate and discipline folks. So we're all standing side by side with one another as we're approaching this work.
Well, that seems like a huge part of why this has been successful. This approach that you're taking has really benefited from that, and just for the districts from their perspective too. I'm sure it can be so confusing, like you said, with the language and the terminology and the different requirements, and being able to streamline and just everyone speaking the same language must make a huge difference for them.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to part one of my conversation with Delaware. Stay tuned for part two. Talk to you soon.
A Date with Data is produced by the IDEA Data Center, which is funded by the U.S. Department of Education. Have a story about special education data that you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at ideadata@westat.com. To learn more about our center and our work, visit us at ideadata.org.